Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
I'm ready for the world.
How many wigs you got?
Mostly ponytails, like four ponytails and two full wigs.
Girl, yeah. I am 30 different people.
You are every woman, literally.
Every woman. And rock an afro. I really do. Yes, I really do. But people don't understand that. But hair is an option and a choice. It's a fashion statement as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and so many people are so afraid to find themselves and explore other options.
Right.
Bring the freak out in you, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and if you do it, then you ain't got to worry about somebody else doing it.
Exactly.
Because we're doing everything right here on the Edge Brains.
That's right.
Okay. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And some of us wear wigs.
That's right.
Brains, I have Charlotte E. Terrell here on the Edge with me. And we're going to have a real cool girlfriend conversation about some tough stuff. See, I like to let you guys in the room because you don't have an opportunity to really have these candid conversations. They're scripted, or they're just talking about the book, or they're talking about the job, or they're talking about the, you know, the inspiration or the motivation. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about life too. And something that y'all probably don't know, Charlotte used to be gangster. Okay, because girl, I was sitting here, I was cracking up about the
don't
about your car.
Yeah.
That is too funny.
Girl,
you in Michigan. I know, but you in Michigan, right?
I was living in Birmingham, Alabama at the time. Ooh. But I'm from Michigan.
You was in the Bama?
Yes, ma'am. In the ham, honey.
Wait a minute, let me tell you, Bray, she stole her car back from a drug dealer, her Lexus. She said she wasn't playing. She was getting her car back. Girl, I got caught up with some drama with some people one time. These guys, I took them to lunch that work with me at a company, and I got in the car with them. And when I got in the car, I was like, you know, you got a lot of activity in here. You got some zigzag papers, some Crown Royal bag, and the seats was dirty. There's a torn up condom paper in there. I said, you're doing the most in this car. He goes, yes, ma'am, I am. He said, and when the police pull us over, I just want to let you know that I'm going to tell them that the dope and the gun in the trunk is yours.
No.
I thought we was going to get tacos.
Just trying to eat something.
I was fit to be tied. How am I going to tell Mr. Magnificent that I'm in the car with some gangsters? Come to find out, these dudes was transporting drugs and money through the company mailroom. Here I am sitting up in the car with them going to get tacos.
No, ma'am.
Women can get caught up in simple things, and a man will roll
easily
on you in a heartbeat.
Sure will.
You know, and they just don't have it. And then they lose their self-confidence. But you're a confidence coach. You're going to help somebody regain that confidence. We're going to talk that too. In addition to that, you know, you are a transformational coach. I want to know what that means. I want to know how a woman of a particular age, a Black woman, could transform a Chinese woman of 20 years old. You know, what is it about a mindset? Because again, this has to be universal. We can't just be, you know,
absolutely,
we just have tunnel vision. We just have to support our own people. We've got to look globally. And that's the challenge that the people are having right now. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then power and peace.
Yes.
How we going to find that? And feeling stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to you too about friendship. We're going to go there. Because girl, you talk about imposter syndrome. So tell us a little bit about your story. Where does it all begin?
Well, my story begins with me being from a small town in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. And it was a very delightful place for me to grow up. And that's what I did. I was, you know, my parents made sure that they gave me a foundation about who I was and said that I could do anything. But the problem with being told you can do anything is trying to figure out, well, what is that ending? What is that anything? What does that mean?
Right.
And my father always told me, girl, you're going to do fine in your life. Your problem is not going to be talent. Your problem is going to be trying to figure out which one to hone in on, which one to use, which one to be your, you know, to decide to go with. And that, you know, that has been my talent. Do I want to write? Do I want to speak? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that?
Right.
And just kind of vacillating. And, you know, I went from a Caucasian, all white Catholic, I mean, not sorry, not Catholic, Christian private school to a public mixed school in the third grade. My mom was like, look, me and your dad are divorcing and you're going to be going to preschool now.
Gotta pivot.
So I had to be flexible. But the thing that I learned even as early as then was that confidence is something innate. It's something inside of you. And you have to believe in yourself, because when I was at the private school, I had people that didn't look like me questioning who I was, what I was capable of, was I competent? I wasn't like them. I didn't look like them. So who are you? And what makes you think that you can walk alongside us? And then when I went to the public school, I had my peers looking at me like, you know, we do this and this is how we roll, and you're not rolling with us. You're different than us. And so
right, you come from how, the private school, you all bougie.
Right. So how can you fit in? And thank God I had a best friend who lived across the street from me, and she went to the same school. So she was already a part of the school. She was already part of the clique. So I just kind of fit in with her, and I was Erica's best friend. Mm-hmm. So that's how I became
a part of that.
Yes. I got my street cred from that. However, you know, the messages that I heard, it becomes innate from the messages that you hear from your family, from your friends, from people that you come in people that you come in contact with. And then it's up to you to decide the messages that you want to believe.
Exactly.
And when you start to believe messages that are not positive, or messages that are demeaning, or that put you in a box or make you feel stuck, that's when you need to reevaluate. Okay, what am I hearing? What do I believe? And how do I need to pivot, like you said earlier? How do I need to change and move from my belief system in my mind to where I need to go? Because my company is Images Motivational Consultant Agency. And Images is an acronym, but it also is, it's twofold, because the meaning of Images is how we present ourselves to the world. We have all of these images. We got our wigs. We got our nails. We got.
Girl, I tell people, am I you, or are you sending your representative?
Right. Is this Charlotte the coach or Charlotte the Aquarius?
Right.
We have to determine who's showing up in the room.
Charlotte, you have a plethora of knowledge and experience. You are degreed in so many things. You know, I know that you're going to bring a substantial amount of value. Tell me a little bit about your education.
Absolutely. I have a bachelor's degree in social work, a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling, and a second master's degree in education. And I have experience in both education and counseling. And as a matter of fact, I have done therapy and transitioned into coaching from therapy that I did for over 25 years.
So, well, girl, you don't look way over 35.
Thank you.
Now, do you work with women, men, children?
I work with women, professional women from the ages of 35 to around 60. Because I've just had a good experience with that dynamic. So that demographic, but I do have a few good men that I speak to as well.
Well, that's great. That's great. And you know what? The youth are really going to find value in what you do, you know, and when I say youth, I'm saying anything from 18 to 30.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Because
exactly.
They're trying to find themselves.
Exactly.
They're trying to find themselves.
Exactly.
And a world that's in such disarray. Well, that's going to be a Absolutely. Lot of, that's good to know that you, again, are degreed, and that you just not.
Right.
Money certificate.
And I do have a certification in coaching as well. So.
Well, that's good. But you know, some bless their hearts.
A lot of them don't.
Yeah. Well, they have this 30-day certification and think they can turn you around, but you have right. dedicated years and a whole lot of right. money in this as well.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Perfect. And also, you know, Charlotte, you have to teach people how to treat you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's not a given because you just can't come at me any old kind of way. I'm real cool. Right. I'm real nice. And that's what COVID has taught me is to be extra patient. I just put on an extra layer of patience before I step out the door. But baby,
you demand your respect, but it's also being cognizant of people, other people's plight. Because you don't know what somebody else is going through.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
That extra layer of respect, that extra layer of tender love and kindness is essential, not long before COVID, but now that we are in the midst of this pandemic and we've experienced so many transitions, we have to go in not only presenting our best selves, but showing compassion on other people.
On other people.
Yes.
And having a better ear, you know, being a good listener. You don't always have to be the one that's the smartest one in the room, always jaw-jacking, having the conversation. Sometimes you just want to be a good listener. And that's what I ask my girlfriends. When they come to me and they got something going on, I tell them, look, do you want me just to listen? And they'll say, well, yes. And I say, okay, well, let me warn you, because I'm only going to listen to this twice. You keep coming to me every week with the same old drama, and you are not trying to work through and find a solution to it, I'm not the one to call.
Right.
Because they suck the air out the room.
Absolutely. And whether you're a coach or a therapist or a counselor, podcast host, whatever you are, you don't have the capacity to hear the same nonsense for 10, 20 years from the same people. If you're still dealing with Jimmy Pegleg and he hurt you 25 years and you've been dealing with him for 25 years, it's time to look at you. It's not me that it has a problem because I don't have compassion on it anymore. It's you because you're still dealing with the same mess.
Still dealing with
letting the devil beat you with the same stick.
Well, you know, and do you notice too, I always have this challenge too, when some people, when you meet their representative, it's always the humdrum. Hi, I'm Betty and I'm the alcoholic. Or hi, I'm Susie. I was sexually assaulted as a child.
Right.
Or, hi, I am Karen and I was a Trump supporter. You know, all this drama that come with people, why can't you just say, hi, I'm Karen.
Right.
And let the conversation ensue.
And being in the now and saying, I'm great today. It's a beautiful sunshiny day.
Telling people what you want them to know. Folks tell too much of their business.
Absolutely.
They tell too
much. Or they carry it. They carry it, April, on their shoulders. Because, you know, some people think that they do a good job of hiding their demons, but they walk in the room, hi, like you said, hi, I'm Charlotte. And people see that. They feel that. And people don't care. It's like, oh, okay, well, she coming in with that again.
My mother used to always say, don't give nobody ammunition to fight you with.
Right.
You know, you tell people what you want them to know about you. It's like dating, too. You know, when you go out on the first date, they don't want to hear about the ex-boyfriend. They try to come up with some new stuff.
Right.
But again, that's a lack of confidence. How do you help your clients regain confidence?
Well, here's the other side of images. Images also is, like I said in the beginning, an acronym that stands for imparting a message about God's expectation of our success.
Wow.
So in developing or cultivating confidence, I use, you know, everybody's not a believer, but most people believe in some higher power. I believe in God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But those who don't, they believe in a higher power. whatever your belief system is, you have to believe that you're here for a particular purpose.
Right.
And only you can fulfill that purpose. And only April can do On the Edge the way April does On the Edge. I could do On the Edge, but it wouldn't be the same as the way April does it, because April has a design, a purpose, and a plan for her life and for the way that she does things and for the people that she's supposed to impact. Mm-hmm. So that's
Right. You're designing this program, and it's faith-based. See, people, again, listen to it, Brains. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ as well, but I have no problem with Buddhists. I have no problem with Muslims. I have no problem with, you know, anybody that recognizes that there is a creator that is greater than yourself.
Right. Right. And I think that it's so important. I always say that you have to take an inventory of your wins. Mm. You have to always be mindful of the positive attributes about yourself. And oh no, there's nothing about me. Yeah, yes, there is. There is something special about you. There is something that you recognize or has been recognized that is positive about you. Mm-hmm. And you need to capitalize on that and not just say, well, you know, I don't have anything. There is something about everybody. We all have something special and unique about each of us. And not only that, but having compassion on yourself,
right,
and realizing that, I love to say, weakness or limitations or deficiencies, however you want to word it, whatever verbiage you want to use, they're not a life sentence.
No, they're not.
They're not a life sentence. You did not always know how to talk. You did not always know how to walk. You did not always know how to do what you're doing right now.
Right.
And so until they put you in the ground, that brain and that spirit, that tenacity of yours is able to evolve and to create and to do what your purpose to do. So you're not done until you're done.
So again, that's okay. You build the confidence, and then you take that confidence and you transform it. How do you help people transform into their purpose?
I believe in having meaningful relationships. I know that sales, a lot of people talk about it being a numbers game, but when you're developing a meaningful relationship, no matter what the numbers are, you find out about people. And it's not just asking 50 million questions. It's about finding out by observing them, listening with their heart, and making a determination about what it is that they want to do, what it is that they are capable of doing. My first coaching client, I met at a funeral. And it was at a repast. She didn't pay me out. You know, probably didn't even know I was coaching at the time. Mm. But we were at the repast, and I asked her, Cynthia, what do you do? And she told me, and she said, but I hate it. I said, well, why do you do it?
Right.
Because it pays the bills, and, you know, it's kind of what I have to do right now. Who says you have to do it? Right. And then we explored ways for her to venture into what it is that she wanted to do, mm-hmm. and what it is that she was capable of doing. And, you know, the mindset of if money wasn't an object and you had the capacity to do whatever it is that you wanted to do, what would that thing be? And why would you be doing it? And then we explore ways to do it. You know, and sometimes it's as practical as making a phone call, sending an email, doing your research, going to the library or going to Google and finding out, well, how do I get certified in this? I could be doing this. Right.
Informational interviews. People don't do that.
Right.
You know, God, I've always wanted to work in accounting, and you're in customer service. Right. Go down there and observe.
Right.
You know,
talk to people that are in accounting. Ask them how they did that.
You know,
what was that? The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith.
That's right.
Chris Gardner, I think, was his name, the real person. And he asked him, well, how do you do what you do? Man, I want to do that one day. And absolutely. He did it.
Absolutely. And then also, too, you said sales. You know, sales is not sleazy. Sales right. is skill, baby. Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
And everything is a sales job. Your personality, your charm, your skill set.
Helping people to change their mindset. That's a sale.
But also you're selling to value. Now, yes. Do you think that you can just walk up on Charlotte and just say, hey, you know, can you transform me? Can you build my confidence? No, because you've got to sell your challenge to her to see if she want to buy it, even though she's the person in control. Everybody's not going to be her client. Everybody Absolutely. Is not going to be working at the same trajectory. And there's going to be people that's not going to want to do the work.
Right.
You ever had a client that didn't want to do the work?
Yes.
And look
yes.
at you with a side eye, like, right. you right. know, looking at you all crazy.
And yeah, and like, well, it didn't work. What did you right. do, X, Y, and Z? No, I didn't do any of that. Okay, well, you're not going to transform if you're not moving forward.
Exactly.
And you also have to have that belief in yourself. You have to believe that you can do it, that you will do it, and that you're destined to do it. And don't take the, I've heard recently that failure is not really failure. Failure is just lessons learned. Mm. And it's really telling you what not to do next time, how to tweak it and make it better. And so there's no such thing as failure. And if you know that going forward, you're just moving forward and picking up the information as you go and finding out what works.
You've had some life, some transitions there. And Flint, Michigan. I want to change the subject for 1 second. Girl, do they have the water straight? Can y'all drink the water there?
I don't think so. I am not there. I have not been in Flint as a citizen in probably 30 years or so. Yeah,
you got family there? Years. You got people there?
I got friends there, but no blood-related family there. But a lot of my family have moved to the outskirts where the water is okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, I call all my friends family too, but yeah, the people that are there that I know have moved to areas where the water is safe to drink, but no, it's still not safe. Mm. It's still not
safe. Let me ask you another question. Let's talk a little bit about the church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I had to pass on the other day, and you know, I went in deep because there's a lot of people that are disenchanted with the traditional quote unquote church. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking to us in the Black community. Girl, mm-hmm. if they have a fourth offering, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand that we have to do that, and saving souls is big business. I get that. But there's also indiscretions. And then when you look at the pastor, you're looking at him like a father figure.
Right.
You know, that's the closest thing to God that you have right there, because that's who you want praying for you when you sick, when you got a problem with your husband. We're going to go talk to the pastor.
Right.
Okay. But you got to have your own personal relationship with God.
Absolutely.
You got to read that word, whatever text you're reading, you got to read it for yourself and have mm-hmm. your own interpretation. And believe me, God will interpret it for you.
Yes, he will.
Okay.
And the interpretation he gives you may be different for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Because depending on, right. That's why they call it a living word.
So now, you know, are you a member of a big church?
I have been, but since I've been in Mississippi, I am not. It's a very small, intimate congregation. I've not joined yet, but I've been visiting. And now that we can go back to the church, mm-hmm. I might go ahead and join and consider.
What do you think of the messaging of modern day times from traditional text? And what I mean by that is that the world
prosperity message.
Well, not even just the prosperity, but we're talking about, you know, transgenders are, you know, very, very, very prevalent now. Gay marriage is very prevalent right now. The women's movement is very prevalent, you know, because women are not just going to sit down and take it no more.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
right.
Are you finding that the messages that are being delivered in the sermon are speaking to what's going on now, because the world is ever evolving. Now, I'm not saying, you know, to change the doctrine and all, I'm not doing that. But, you know, are you finding when you go to church, because I extracted myself from going to the house of worship for several reasons. And I really didn't find one that just really connected with me. I did not remove myself from God, however.
Absolutely.
But when you are in a church environment, what's the feeling? What are you gauging? And maybe not just your particular church, but just overall, what are you hearing? What are you feeling?
Overall, I don't particularly think that the church, let me just say this. Like I said, the word is the living word. That's the doctrine. Well, not the doctrine. That's the text that we use as believers in Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word is not going to change. Right. God is not going to change. He said, I change not.
Right.
However, the messaging does not always speak to what we're going through currently. What happened during the times of our grandmothers and our forefathers, the messaging from that time to now is a lot different. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes the text really, the politically correct text does not work
for
the word of God, because he does not change. The word does not change. Sin is sin. And I'm not saying there's any degree of sin. I'm just saying that different sins
are different,
break different spiritual laws, mm-hmm. and the consequences are different.
But check this out. I hear what you're saying. The text is still the text, but everything that's going on now has been prophesized.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's in there.
It's already,
it's all
in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Plagues, disease, all of this.
Yes.
So I'm just kind of wondering what, you know, like women in the clergy.
Right. You
know, I'm really hoping that they are coming with a real authentic message for believers, because all the stuff is coming to pass. Now, whether it's, we're not trying to judge whether it's right or wrong, because everybody gonna have to tick off their own box when they get there in line with people. But what I'm saying is, speaking to what's going on, because we've got the youth here.
Right.
And they're looking at us, and they're looking at us kind of crazy.
Right.
You know, they're looking at how we're destroying the earth, the water, how we can't get along, how we still have all this racial tension.
Yeah.
Folks can't help how you've come out the womb if you're a little darker than somebody else, or your eyes are slanted, or your hair is curly. You know, and they're looking at us really, really strange. And I'm just hoping that the word in the church, in all religions, are really speaking to what's happening, because this is nothing new. There's nothing under the sun.
Right. And if my thing is, really, the message, even across the board in other religions, the message is clear and the message is simple. Love God, love each other, and love yourself. And really, if you are doing those things, you're not raping anybody, you're not molesting anybody, you're not killing anybody, you're not racially looking at them with a side eye because, you know, oh, she black, she got a mask on, she's one of them. Uh-huh. No, I'm not one of them. I'm trying to protect you. I got my shots, but I'm trying to protect you and protect my
what you say? I'm trying to protect you. I got my shot.
Yeah.
I don't wear a mask.
Right.
I don't wear a mask.
You know, they have this whole notion of this political jargon that's going about, this buzz about, you know, if you're doing a certain thing or you look a certain way, then you believe a certain thing. You know, I just believe in life. I believe in life, and I believe in love, and I believe in treating people the way that I don't want to be treated. And I don't judge a book by its cover. I don't look at your skin and say, oh, well, you're white, so you believe this, or you're black, so you can do that.
I don't need
you can't do that. No. And in developing a real love relationship, you are listening with your heart and you're trying to find out who this person is, how you can add value to each other, and whether or not they're supposed to be in your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime.
Right, right. Because it's a whole lot of stuff going on. It's too much going on. And they trying to suppress the voting rights.
Yes, we talked about that yesterday.
You know,
we had a lightweight family reunion.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you, they can try all the trickery they want. Because we come up out the ground, baby. You see, we got the first black president. We got rid of, you know, 45 and brought in 46. We got the first female woman of color as vice president. You know, we got a female speaker of the house. So they can try all that trickery.
Right.
You know, but that's when people feel intimidated.
Yeah.
And they feel that their fear. They're
right. They feel their fear. And there's always been a fear of people that don't look like you.
Right. Right.
And we were talking, like I said, we had a lightweight family reunion yesterday. And we were just talking about, we said, look, we're going to get our crackhead people out the crack house. Tell them, look, we just need 24 hours to clean you up so you can vote. Then you can go back to the pipe.
The pipe will be sitting there waiting for you. No, you know what I told people? If you see Los Angeles, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Girl, I go there on a turnaround. I'm not trying to hang out.
Wow.
It is awful. You have homeless everywhere. It looks like a third world war-torn country. And folks are just as comfortable. And then you go right around the corner and you've got a 30-floor skyscraper where it is like $8,000 a month for rent. I say, sign the homeless up because they're getting a SSI check or they're getting some food stamps. Use that same address and get those people to vote. Okay? You can turn it around. We can make a difference.
Right.
Okay? But we got to show up. And when we show up, we cannot just show out.
Right. Right. Show up with integrity and with dignity and with respect, but at the same time, demanding our rights to be equal.
That's right. Teaching people how to treat you.
Absolutely.
Talking about a treat, I hear you like to get on boats. Tell me about you and your husband in that boat, girl.
Girl. He's still getting, we're still, because of COVID, we're still waiting on whatever licensure the boat needs or whatever. Because you got to put a title on it. Well, not a title, tag on it, like with a car. So we're waiting on that to come back. But girl, he done bought life jackets. He bought my own fishing pole. I said, babe, look. I can just sit on the boat. I don't have to. No, you gonna fish.
I don't enjoy fishing. I just don't get it. You know, I can be out in the water. I like to skip rocks. I like to see the little fish. Me and my daughter talked about that the other day. They said, you know, this is kind of violent. You know, you're just ripping them right out of the water.
I know.
Man, you got to
ripping their mouths a little open with the worm and the
worm, and then you got to chop his head off and skin. She says, this is kind of violent, you know. But she's wanted to talk because she's a master at archery, and she could pick off a turkey from 50 yards.
Oh, wow.
So it just depends on what you like to do for entertainment. You're also an accomplished author. Tell me a little bit about your book.
I have written a book about depression and anxiety, and I call it, it's entitled Dis-Ease, D-I-S-E-A-S-E, The 30-Day Guide to Comfort Depression and Anxiety. And it's not necessarily day one, do this, day two, do that. It's just a full-fledged short read where you read it. And if you implement these habits and these practices for 30 days, then you will see your life change for the better in the way of depression and anxiety. And I'm not saying it's a cure-all. And if you have a diagnosis that you're taking medication for and seeing a professional for, by all means, please continue to see them and follow that regimen.
Go on with that disclaimer, Sister Brown.
Right. Right. Don't be calling me saying, hey. Right,
yeah, don't say Say no, Charlotte and April was talking and they told me this is what I need to do.
Right. But, you know, it will help to lighten your mood and it will help you with anxiety. And it's just really a lot of information about self-love, committing to self, committing to what you're supposed to be doing, setting boundaries, and then doing practical things like feeding your body spiritually, the right spiritual food, feeding yourself the right physical food, like the natural foods and exercise and all of those things. And it really does help to not only change your mindset, but help you to serve others and to serve yourself and to feel better.
Okay. So we've talked about serving others. We've talked about transformation. We've talked about confidence. Let's talk about friendship.
All right.
What are some characteristics that you look for in finding a friend and not just clicking on them on Facebook?
Right.
Because that's your support, you know? That's that three-legged stuff.
Right. My parents always told me that, you know, because I had all of these friends and, you know, oh, they are forever going to be my friends. And my parents were like, no, honey, they're not forever going to be your friends. And they really may not be your friends right now. So keep your eye on them. But with friendship, I'm looking for genuine love and compassion. And I believe that love is a two-way street. It's not just me pouring into you or you dumping your stuff on me.
Right.
It's about us sharing with each other, exchanging love in the good times, the bad times, and everything in between. Using discretion about how we talk to each other, what we say to each other, timing and what we're saying, and you know, what we say to, how we treat others, how we treat each other in front of others, mm-hmm. and with others. Because if we're friends behind closed doors, but when we get in public, you showboating and you're putting me down and embarrassing me, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. Now, if I get, I got a friend that we don't talk every day. And the last time we talked is, you know, we've texted and we've talked on Facebook, but we haven't actually had a conversation in a few months. But I said, girl, you that friend that if I get shot and I call you, you coming to see about me.
But I tell you what, it was really odd about friendship with me is that I'm a loyal friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a loyal friend, but I have boundaries too.
There's
some things that I'm not going to do. Like I had one girlfriend and she want to run around, you know, and do things outside of her boyfriend, but she want to use me as a scapegoat. You can't use me.
No.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm a married woman. I got a reputation. You can't use me. Mm-hmm. I got another friend that was, you know, really kind of hurt me and was kind of disingenuous. I really thought that we were so close. And when my mom passed, I think I got a message from them on Facebook. I don't want no message on Facebook.
Right. You don't need to be picking up this phone and getting here.
And yeah, I need
or to get here. Message. One or the other.
I got another friend that I'm willing to take her on a trip. And oh yeah, we gonna go. Now I'm ready to go. Now all of a sudden she can't get to transportation to get her halfway there. So you always kind of have these ebbs and flows with mm-hmm. people. The mm-hmm. best friend that you have is yourself.
Yes.
You got to manage those relationships, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a part of the confidence. That's a part of your inner circle. That's a part of what's really pouring into you, because women especially, you know, you depend on your girlfriend. When right. your man is messing up, the first thing you do is call your girlfriend. And that's right. the same girlfriend that he messing up with.
Right.
You really kind of have to pay attention to all of that. And that's right. a part of the relationships, and that's building relationships, which is going into every other aspect of your life.
And I think that even if you're different and you're going to be different and your backgrounds are going to be different, if you have the same value system, then that really speaks to a relationship that can have some longevity. Because we know that we're going in the same direction. We have the same beliefs. We have the same understanding about people and God and all of those things. And so
yoked.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
And that's important that you're traveling in the same circle of influence. That's like on my show. You know, I vet my guests. I want to make sure that my brains are going to enjoy the conversation, that they're going to work with the people that are on the show, that they are going to listen to the show from beginning to end, that they're going to like, love, and share.
Right.
Because that's why I'm doing this, is to provide information. It's not just to sit here and listen to you talk or listen to me talk. We really want to pour value. We want to make some transformation. We want people to build their confidence. And I think that you do a fabulous job at that, Charlotte. Please tell my friends how to get in contact with you. I want them to work with you. I want them to purchase that book.
Absolutely.
And, you know, really, have, you know, just figure out who they are. Have somebody to talk to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can reach me at charlotteterrell.com. That's the website. And the email address is charlotte@charlotteterrell.com. On LinkedIn, I am Charlotte Terrell with MEDMRC behind my name. And with Facebook, you can actually view some videos of some conversations that I've had with my people.
I shared some. And I love that because they're quick and slick.
Right.
It doesn't take and I'm speaking for myself, it shouldn't take you 5 years to get, you know, one thing.
Right.
Get some basic information.
Be real clear. Say what you're going to say and get on off of there. When I see that a video is going to be 20 minutes or so, I'm like, okay, I'm not going
to. Investing in your time.
Right.
Investing in your time. Right. And what is the return on that investment? And that's what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
As we say that, Brains, what are we looking for? We're looking for you to love, like, and share here on The Edge.
Yes.
Go in, listen to other edgy conversations, connect with Charlotte, watch her clips. It's nothing but a point and a click, and the information that you are going to receive is so valuable, especially on social media. You didn't pay to get up in here, so you might as well pay attention.
Right. And attention is free. You don't have to pay for that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Charlotte. Please come back. I'm going to be hosting some podcast potlucks. I'm going to switch it up a little bit, and we're going to have some real edgy conversations.
Oh, yes.
We're going to bring some people with a different point of view, because I love that. That's how we grow. That's how we develop.
Absolutely. That's how the world goes round.
All right. So I love you, my sister. Thank you so much.
Love you, too.
Coming on in.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here. God bless you, Brains.